the laundry's first ever success and greatest ever disaster. To be honest, they overreacted disgracefully and managed to deprive themselves of one of the finest minds at the same time. Anyway, the theorem has been rediscovered periodically ever since. It has also been suppressed efficiently, if a little bit less violently, because nobody wants it out in the open, where Joe Random Cypherpunk can smear it across the internet. The theorem is a hack on discrete number theory that simultaneously disproves the Church-Turing hypothesis, wave if you understood that, and worse, permits NP-complete problems to be converted into P-complete ones. This has several consequences, starting with screwing over most cryptography algorithms, translation, all your bank account are belong to us, and ending with the ability to computationally generate a DHO-NHA geometry curve in real time. This latter item is just slightly less dangerous than allowing nerds with laptops to wave a magic wand and turn them into hydrogen bombs at will. Because, you see, everything you know about the way this universe works is correct. Except for the little problem that this isn't the only universe we have to worry about. Information can leak between one universe and another. And in a vanishingly small number of the other universes, there are things that listen and talk back. See Alhazred, Nietzsche, Lovecraft, Poe, etc. The many-angled ones, as they say, live at the bottom of the Mandelbrot set, except when a suitable incantation in the Platonic realm of mathematics, computerized or otherwise, draws them forth. And you thought running that fractal screensaver was good for your computer. Oh, and did I mention that the inhabitants of those other universes don't play by our rulebook? Just solving certain theorems makes waves in the Platonic overspace. Pump lots of power through a grid tuned carefully in accordance with the right parameters, which fall naturally out of the geometry curve I mentioned, which in turn falls easily out of the Turing theorem, and you can actually amplify these waves until they rip honking great holes in spacetime and let congruent segments of otherwise separate universes merge. You really don't want to be standing at ground zero when that happens. Which is why we have the laundry. I slink back to my office via the coffee maker, from which I remove a mug full of a vile and turgid brew that coats my back teeth in slimy grit. There are three secret memos waiting in the locked pneumatic tube, one of which is about abuse of government-issued toothpaste. There are 132 email messages waiting for me to read them. And on the other side of the building, there's a broken Beowulf cluster that's waiting for me to install a new Ethernet hub and bring it back online to rejoin our gang of crypto crackers. This is my fault for being the departmental computer guy. When the machines break, I wave my dead chicken and write voodoo words on their keyboards until they work again. This means that the people who broke them in the first place keep calling me back in and blame me whenever they make things go wrong again. So guess what gets my attention first? Yes, you guessed right. It's the institutional cream and off-green wall behind my monitor. I can't even bring myself to read my mail until I've had a good 5 minutes staring at nothing in particular. I have a bad feeling about today, even though there's nothing obviously catastrophic to lock onto. This is going to be one of those Friday the 13th type occasions, even though it's actually a rainy Wednesday the 17th. To start with, there's a charming piece of email from Mary, laundered through one of my dead letter drops. You'd better not let the audit office catch you sending or receiving private email from work, which is why I don't. As I'm the guy who built the departmental firewall, this isn't difficult. You slimy scumbag, don't you ever show your nose round my place again. Oh yes, as if. The last time I was round the flat she's staying in was at the weekend when she was out to retrieve my tube of government-issue toothpaste. I somehow resisted the urge to squirt obscene suggestions on the bathroom mirror, the way she did when she came round and repoed my stereo. Maybe this was an oversight on my part. Next message, a directive on sick leave signed digitally by Harriet, pointing out that if more than half an hour's leave is taken, a doctor's note must be obtained, preferably in advance. Why do I feel a headache coming on? Thirdly, there's a plea from Fred in accounting. A loser, basically, who I had the misfortune to smile at last time I was on hell desk duty. Help! I can't run my files anymore! Fred has just about mastered the high art of the on-off switch, but is sufficiently proficient with a spreadsheet to endanger your payroll. Last time I got mail from him, it turned out he'd reinstalled an earlier version of some critical bits and pieces over his hard disk, trashing everything, and had the effrontery to be mailing virus-infested jokes around the place. I bounced the plea for help over to the hell desk, where the staffer on call will get to grapple with it and curse me vilely for trying to be helpful to Fred. I spend a second stretch of 5 minutes staring at the chipped cream paint on the wall behind my monitor. My head is throbbing now, and because of various health and safety directives, there isn't so much as an aspirin on the premises. After yesterday's inane fiasco, there doesn't seem to be anything I can do here today that conjures up any enthusiasm. I have a horrible gut-deep feeling that if I stay, things will only get worse. Besides, I put in 2 days' worth of overtime yesterday. Regs say I'm allowed to take time off in lieu. My self-help book says I should still be grieving for my pet hamster, and the Beowulf cluster can go fuck itself. I log out of the secure terminal and bunk off home early. Your taxes at work. It's 8 in the evening, and I still have a headache. Meanwhile, Pinky is down in the cellar, preparing another assault on the laws of nature. The TV console in the living room of Chateau Cthulhu, the geek house I share with Pinky and Brains, both of whom also work for the laundry, is basically brain candy, installed by Pinky in a desperate attempt to reduce the incidence of creative psychosis in the household. I think this was during one of his rare fits of sanity. The stack contains a cable decoder, satellite dish, Sony PlayStation, and a homemade web TV receiver that Brains threw together during a bored half hour. It hulks in the corner opposite the beige corduroy sofa like a black-brushed postmodern sculpture held together with wiring spaghetti. Its purpose is to provide a chill-out zone where we can collapse after a hard day's work auditing new-age websites in case they've accidentally invented something dangerous. Cogitating for a living can result in serious brain sprain. If you don't get blitzed on beer and blow or watch trash TV and sing raucously once in a while, you'll end up thinking you're Sonic the Hedgehog and that ancient Mrs. Simpson over